trial later. And but you come ahead.
Amen. Love the Lord today.
Amen. Oh, one other thing. Amen. You really won't be able to see that clock, but you can see that one.
That's right. Do I need a clock?
No, you just go ahead and preach,
All right.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I know I've got choir practice at 5 over at our church, so until then, I've got some time. Amen. Amen. What do y'all come to church for? Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir. Ever think about that? Why do we go to church? Why? Why do you go? Well, better be to worship God. Amen, sis. That's it. To worship. I'll preach today a little bit about our worship. All right, if you'll take your Bible, go over to Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter 7. We'll see a little bit about some worship.
Yeah, I've done it wrong. I've got the mic on here.
Hey, amen. I've got a big enough mouth, I probably don't even need it.
God's not the author of confusion, I am. But there
we
go.
Take this jacket probably off.
You take that jacket off, put that wherever it's comfortable.
All right. All right. I don't stay well in a jacket. I shed it every time I preach. Every once in a while, I even loosen up my tie and my first button. Amen. If I really get wound up, I may have to do that. All right. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here today. I preached this morning out of the book of 2 Kings. Over there about that Shunammite woman. Amen. Preached over there some things God showed me there just in the last couple of days. And last evening really brought some things out to me. But, you remember what was going on over there in 2 Kings chapter 4? There was a lady there. She had a heart to do something for the man of God. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, that's part of worship right there. Amen. To do something for God other than just being in church.
Right.
Hey, I heard a preacher saying he needs some help to do some things around here. You know, that's part of worship. Amen.
Right.
That's part of worshiping God. It doesn't matter if you're scrubbing the toilet.
Yeah, amen.
Picking up around outside. If you're doing it for God, amen.
That's right.
It's worship to Him. All right. We'll preach a little bit about worship. This thing that I just mentioned a little bit about what I preached this morning over there in 2 Kings chapter 4. And this lady over there, she had a child. Remember that? She had done some things. She went to her husband. She said, "Now can we put this? Can we make a prophet's chamber for the man of God? And we put a bed in there and a table and a candle and those things for the man of God. For when he comes by, he has a place to rest. Amen. And study and do the things he needs to do." And her husband said, "Yeah, we can do that." And they would do those things, and she would take care of the man of God when he came through. And after a little while, he says, "What can I do for this woman?" Old Elisha. Amen. He said, "What should be done for you? Should you be made known to the king?" Well, no, that didn't matter to her. And Elisha's companion that followed with him, he says, "Elisha, she has no son. She has no child." He said, "Well, we'll give her. We'll pray God give her a child." And Elisha told her, he said, "A year from now, you're going to have a boy." What happened to that little boy? Anybody remember about that? He was just growing up a little ways, and he went out to the field where his daddy was working. He said, my head. And he said to one of the other lads who was working in the field, he said, "Carry him back to his mama." He carried him back there to his mama. You might get two services, two messages in one. Amen. And carried him back to his mama. And the child, she sat there till noon and rocking him like a mama would love her little child. And he wasn't feeling well. You know, every little boy likes to be on mama's lap when they're little like that and they're not feeling well. And the Bible says the child died. The child died. Later down through that story, she goes, she gets permission from her husband to run off and find the man of God again. And she does, she gets a hold of the man of God. And on her way, she's just about there. And Elisha sends his servant out. And he says to ask her some questions. "Is it well with thee?" Is it well with thee? A personal thing, amen. Is it well with thee? Do you know the Savior today?
Amen.
Is it well with thee? And then he says, "Is it well with thy husband?" Amen. Who's the head of this thing? Amen. Is it well? Do you have a good relationship with the Savior? Amen. And then he said, "Is it well with the child?" Are we not children of God? Amen. Is it well with others?
Amen.
And she was able to say, it is well. But her child was dead.
That's right.
An amazing thing. I preach a message, is it well with thee?
Mm-hmm.
All right? Is it well? That's not the message I'm going to preach for you, but I'll give you just a little appetizer of it anyway, man. We're going to talk about our worship this morning and this afternoon now, I guess. So here in Luke chapter number 7, I like to start reading there in verse, let's get 35. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man, a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Thank God for that, amen. But wisdom is justified of all her children. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went in unto the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself. Better watch what you speak within yourself. God's listening. God's listening, amen. He spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, he's answering him. He didn't speak out loud, amen. He spoke within himself. He never uttered a word, and Jesus is going to answer him. Yeah, God knows what's on your mind.
That's right.
God knows what's in your heart. Amen. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll continue this. Lord God, we thank you again for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be gathered here, assembled together in this place. And God, we thank you, Lord, for that promise of where two or three are gathered. There you are in the midst. And God, we need to hear from you today. Lord, we don't need to hear from this man of clay, Lord, but we just need to hear from thee. And God, I pray, Lord, as we take these next few moments, Lord, that you would speak to us. God, that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. And Lord, that you would just have us to hear the things from heaven today that we need to hear. And God, I pray, Lord, that you just guide and direct everything said here today for your honor and glory. And we'll ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. He said, Peter, I've got something to say to you. Amen. Notice there in verse 41, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? I preached two or three messages out of this passage. I've already started with one. I'm getting into another one. Amen. How much time we got? Amen. I'll try to keep this thing. Part of that I preached there, it says, which of them will love him most? Let me tell you, preacher, I want to love him more. I want to love him the most. Amen. It ought to almost get into a, you ever hear people, little kids arguing about something? I love him the most, preacher. I want to love him most, Dale. And Dale wants to say, I want to love him most. Preacher, I say, I want to love him most. No, I want to love him the most. No, you want to love him the most? I want to love him the most. Amen. It ought to almost get into a thing like that with Christians. I want to be accused of loving him the most. Amen. I mean, we need to be accused of loving God the most.
Amen.
Hey, you know what we do? Oh, come on. We don't always love him the most, do we? We don't always love him like we should. Well, I love him the most. I want to be good to have on my tombstone when I die, if the Lord tarries his coming, he loved him the most. I'd like to have that said about me. Amen. Wouldn't you like to have that said about you, preacher? He loved him the most. He loved God more than others.
Amen.
Simon, I've got something to say to you. Who's gonna love him the most? He who was forgiven the most. Amen.
That's right,
Mom. Well, Well, let's get back here a little bit. I want to try to get this preached out here about this worship, and if we have time, if it's not 6 o'clock yet, we'll try to get on to this other part of this message. There's a whole other message in this thing as you keep going down there. But this one here about worship, he said, if there in verse 39, now the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known, notice these two words, who and what. You know what? God knows some things. He knows who you are. He knows what you are. Amen. You can hide it in front of your preacher.
Right.
You can hide it in front of somebody else. You cannot hide it in front of God. He knows who you are. He knows what you are.
That's right.
Amen. This woman, she came in to do one thing. She came in to do one thing. She wanted to worship the Savior.
Amen.
I'll show you five things in this passage here, in this verse. Actually, we find them all five right there in verse 38. It said, and stood at his feet behind him weeping. If you take notes this morning, this afternoon, I want you to note there that she was patient in her worship. She stood behind him. Did you ever try to get to somebody you wanted to talk to? And they were talking, and you just had to stand behind them and wait your turn. She was patient in her worship. I tell you what, some of us, we say, come on, preacher, get on with it. Hurry up, let's get the church done. Let's get on with it. I got something to do this afternoon.
That's right, well, yeah.
Well, how about being patient with your worship?
Yeah.
Amen? How about waiting on God to move in? How about waiting until God... You know what I think a lot of times, church is over about whatever time it's over, and about 5 minutes from then is when God was planning to show up.
Oh, come on.
God was going to show up if y'all could have just waited just a little bit longer, amen? If the service would have went just a... If the song service would have went just another song, God would have said, I'm moving into this thing. It's just about getting good. I'm just about wanting to get down there and get amongst my people.
Woo!
But sometimes we don't have the patience to wait on the things of God. This lady, she was patient. She stood at his feet behind him. And notice what she was doing. You ever come to God?
Yes.
You ever get in a place of worship where you couldn't do anything else?
Yes.
And the tears just turned over.
Yes.
Say, well, man, we don't do that right here.
Well, you'll never be a man until you learn how to cry before God.
That's right. Amen.
You'll never be a man. I remember a day, preacher. I remember a day when this preacher was out of sorts with God just a little bit. And I remember that day, that first day I went back in church. And they started us with a song in that song service. Mm-hmm. They started singing, brethren, we had met to worship.
Hey.
Tell you what, God was in that place.
Yeah, amen.
And I couldn't sing. I love to sing. I like to belt it out when I can. I couldn't sing. I couldn't mutter a song. I couldn't mutter a word of that song. The tears began to flow down my cheeks. And it was worship to God. Amen.
Amen.
You'll never get anywhere until you learn to worship a little bit.
Amen.
We say we come to church to worship Him, but boy, hurry up and get done so we can get out of here. Oh, come on. Let's be patient in our worship. Let's wait a little bit on God. Amen. We'll get this thing in too big of a hurry. We'll be done before God shows up.
Yeah.
And we'll miss out. I wonder why we call it the Lord's Day and we only got a couple minutes for it.
Yeah.
We call it the Lord's Day,
yeah. But
we can't take the day for Him. I mean, we've got 6 other days to do whatever in the world we're going to do. And we can't take a day just to love on God and express our feelings of gratitude and worshiping. Well, we ought to start in about 5 a.m. Amen. While it was yet early. You remember over there when Mary, she went to the tomb. It was while it was yet dark. Amen. She took her worship right to there to find the Lord. Amen. Oh, while it was yet dark. Some of us ought to start in right early. Amen. Start in praising God and worshiping on the Lord's day right early. Amen. And just stick with it right on through the day. Why? Because it's His day.
That's right.
It's His day. She was worshiping. Amen. She was weeping. Notice too, her worship was in public. Yeah, amen. That was this fellow's house, this Pharisee. But there, how did she get to know about what was going on? It wasn't a private meeting. In those days, a lot of time, what happened? Something's going on at your house, half the town coming over. You know, there's a lot of people coming over to fellowship and see what this thing's all about. You remember when Jesus was doing some things there and healing some people? They couldn't get to him. They'd tear up the roof.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, why? Well, it would be good if people had to tear up the roof to get into where God was today. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, we can't get through the door. Why? Because, well, the fire marshal would have a fit about that. I mean, the place is packed out full. You can't get to him. We've got to tear a hole in the roof just to get in. Amen. I'd like to do that to my church if it worked. Amen. I'd let them tear up the roof. Come on in. Amen. Let's get another one in. All right. She was, it says here that she began. First, she was there. Her worship was seen as a patient thing. She stood there weeping before him or behind him. And then it says she began to wash his feet with her tears. And she was not doing this thing in a private manner. You notice that? She was there. There was people around. There were people there. This publican, this Pharisee, he said that she... If he knew what she was, well, aren't you glad God knows who you are? Amen. And she began to get down there. Let me tell you something about this. As people say, well, she had really long hair. You can't prove that by that passage. But what you can prove is she got real close.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, she got real close. She got real close right there in public.
Right.
She got real close to the Savior.
Yes, sir.
Amen. She got real close to the Lord Jesus. Some of us never get it with worship because we're afraid to get too close.
Yes. That's right.
Never really can worship God in a real way. Yes. Because we're afraid to get too close.
Yeah, amen.
Well, she had to get real close if she's going to wash his feet with her hair.
Yep.
I mean, take this lady here. I mean, her hair's just about to there. If she was going to wash Jesus' feet, let me tell you, she's going to have to get closer than what my wife would, because my wife's hair is just a little bit longer. But she's about to get even closer. But at any rate, you're going to have to get pretty close if you're going to wash his feet with your hair.
That's right.
Right? She got close. And she did that in a public atmosphere. See, was there in this man's house. It wasn't her house.
Right.
This was somebody else's home. There was other people around. And she didn't care about who was looking. Amen.
Right.
Well, how about that? How about you get close enough to God that you start worshiping in the service, and you can just raise your hands a little bit if you need to. You can worship God. You can praise His name. And it's in public. Amen. And you say, well, that guy over there, he's crazy. Well, that boy over there, that woman over there, she's got something going on with her. Hey, that's all right. They're close with God. Amen. They're close with the Savior. And they're doing it in public, and they're not ashamed of it. Amen. Got right close, right there in public worship. She washed with her tears. Amen. Well, it was with her tears. I sort of got ahead of that one with the hair, but that was with her tears. Amen. That was with her tears. You ever shed some tears in public?
Yes.
Yeah. How'll that do you? You know what that's about? It's about being humbled. Why do we have a problem with being humbled? Let me see. If I spell the word pride, fill in the missing letter. P-R-I-D-E. Thank you for admitting you're in the middle of pride. Amen? All right. Who's in the middle of that thing? We are. Amen? You do the same thing with sin, right? S-I-N, right in the middle of it, aren't we? Amen? You find yourself right in the middle. If you find yourself having a hard time worshiping God, say, well, somebody might look at me, preacher. Why don't you get rid of that thing that God hates that's called pride? You know what kept me from getting saved many years?
That's right. Come on.
Many years I walked a religious, self-religious, self-righteous.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Well, it was pride.
Come on.
I'd say pride. I just about let pride take me to hell.
That's something. Yes, sir. Come on.
Just about.
Yeah.
Thank God I get over that mess. Amen. He still has to work on me with it. I guarantee you that. But that's just when I'm letting this flesh be in control, right? Every time you let that flesh be in control, that pride will rear up on you. It'll want to do what it wants to do and take the show. But hey, he said there that she washed his feet with tears. Right there, publicly. Public worship with her tears. All right, now we'll get to that next one. Excuse me for messing up there, but it was her personal worship. Personal worship. You know, you can't get anything by living on the pastor's worship.
That's right.
Young man, you got to have a worship of your own. Amen. I only know Brother Dale a little bit and the preacher a little bit. I don't know the rest of you very well at all, or not at all. But I can't pick on anybody else. All right, but you can't enjoy the service on Dale's worship. You can't expect a preacher to bring the whole thing in a briefcase on Sunday morning and say, "I've got the worship with us." Amen. It's got to be yours, a personal worship. That hair was her hair. Amen. A personal thing. She got down there to Jesus' feet. I mean, she got down there in a personal way. She had to be pretty humble in it. Amen. A lot of humility to get down there and get her hair all the way to his feet. All the way to his feet. I'll tell you what, you'll never get any better in worship until you get down to his feet.
Amen.
You get down there, you'll find something about those feet. You'll find they got some nail print in them. Amen.
Amen.
You'll find that those feet, they're some beautiful feet. Amen. The Bible says about some beautiful feet. Amen. You're not going to get any more beautiful feet than the feet of the Savior. But she got down there to his feet. She wiped those feet with the hair of her head. Notice what she didn't have a bucket of water with her. Amen. She had shed enough tears.
That's right, brother.
She had shed. She didn't just one of them choked out.
Yeah.
I mean, just holding them back, and one little tear come out, and she had to wipe that one off. You realize in that day. If we can get to the rest of this thing, the end of that passage, it was typical, it was customary. In that day, if someone came to your house, you would wash their feet.
Yeah.
Why? They didn't have shoes like many of us, or cowboy boots, or whatever the case may be. Amen? They walked on those dirty, old, dusty ground, and they came, they were dirty feet. And they would wash those feet, and they would come in for fellowship. You know what's kind of people, what people do? If I go visit my sister, my brother, he's not so bad about it. My mom's pretty tough about it. But my sister, make sure you edit this part. My sister, she's pretty rugged about this. You take your shoes off when you come in her house. She's lived in this house since I was a teenager. I was 17, 18 years old. She moved in that house. I'll be 44 this year. She's lived in that house. The carpets still look brand new in that home. They've never been replaced. But you take your shoes off before you come in her house. Why? It's just the way she wants it done. And out of respect for her home, that's what you do. And out of respect for their own home, they would wash your feet a lot of times, or they would have a place where you could wash your feet, or however it would be. But you didn't come in. This guy that invited him over didn't wash his feet. So here she is. She's with tears, realizing who this is. I'll tell you what, to know who and what. I think that woman knew that Jesus knew who she was and what she was.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
And if you ever get to the point of realizing that there's a God in heaven,
yes,
that knows who you are,
yes,
that's and right, what you are, it could really bring you to tears.
That's right,
yes. Well, it could really bring you to tears if you realize the God that made this universe knows you. And he knows every dark secret in your wicked old heart as well.
That's right.
He knows it. You know, this guy says, "Well, she's a sinner." Well, Yeah. It was her testimony mentioned three times in that passage. If you read it through there, it's mentioned three times. You know, if God mentions something once, we understand that. But if God mentions it twice, he's saying pay attention. If God mentions it the third time, he's saying you better pay attention. There's something going on here. Amen. It was mentioned three times in this passage. She's a sinner. We needed to know who she was. Are we not sinners? Amen?
Amen.
Can we not come to the feet of Jesus? Can we not have this worship that this woman had? Amen? We sure can. She was there. She had a patient worship. She had a public worship. She had a personal worship. You can't live off of somebody else's worship. Amen? It's got to be personal. It's got to be your own worship. And then the next thing you see here. Brother Dale, this one gets me. She kissed his feet.
Yeah, come on.
She kissed his feet. I want you to get a hold of this. I'm not a kissing kind of person.
Amen.
Until it comes to my wife.
That's right.
Amen. I'm not a hugging kind of person.
Yeah.
Some people are huggy. No, it's all right. I mean, I remember. I know what the Bible says: greet one another with a holy kiss. Amen. But I'll take a handshake. Amen. About a half a hug from a man. That's about it. Amen. But when it comes to my wife, we can get pretty passionate in that kissing thing. Amen. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm sorry if you offends you, but you ought to try sometimes if you're married. Amen. If you're not, you wait till you're married. All right. But hey, I want to mention something. She got passionate in her worship. You notice that? She got passionate.
Right.
In her worship. This thing, I remember now, she's in public. She's around other people who are watching this thing. What would you do?
Oh, yes.
Oh my. We can't let too many people see you.
Oh.
Praise the Lord. Well, how about raising some holy hands once in a while? Amen. How about shouting amen? How about saying amen when the preacher, the man of God, is preaching the word of God and it's getting good? And you say, praise the Lord. Amen. What is that? Get some passion about it. You know, people go down to the ball game, preacher. People go to the ball game. These little kids, watching these little kids play ball. Ready? He strikes out. Woo-hoo! I mean, they struck out. They're still yipping, yapping, hollering. Come on. I mean, and if he hits a home run, I mean, they're going to have a heart attack. You know? I mean, but they get passionate about this thing. Why? Because that little guy or that little gal doing what they're doing, they get excited about it. When was the last time you really got excited in church?
Amen, bro.
How about ever got real passionate in your worship with God? It'll go a long ways.
Yeah.
It'll go a long way. People sit around, big old bottom lip pooched out. I'm enjoying my Christianity. Oh, get over yourself. Amen. How about getting passionate with the Savior who loved you and died for you? Amen. If you can't get passionate about the things of God, you're not saved.
That's right.
Let me tell you that.
Yes.
If you can never get excited about the things of God, about a Savior that died on the cross of Calvary, that died for you, that rose again the third day, and it never excites you, you're not saved.
Come on.
Say, why do you say that? Because I believe it right here in the book. Amen.
Right.
You can get excited about watching a race. You can get excited about a football game. You can get excited about what? Wherever your heart is.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Wherever your heart's desire is will excite you.
That's right.
That's the answer, bro. Yes,
and if God doesn't excite you, it's because your heart's not.
That's right. Yes, sir.
He's got to have your heart. Maybe I shouldn't be preaching so hard as a guest preacher. I'm just never asked back. Amen. But she was passionate. You know what we got today in Christianity is a bunch of wet blankets. Throw it on worship.
Yes, sir.
The guy starts raising his hand because he gets a little excited. The guy starts shouting amen because he gets a little excited. And the rest of the church saying, what's wrong with that person? Throw a wet blanket on that thing. Shame on Christianity for throwing a wet blanket on serving and worshiping God. Amen. We got too much wet blanket Christianity. Get rid of that stuff and get some spark about you. Amen. Get some passion about the way you worship the Savior. He said this. Number five would be and anointed them. She kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Sometimes it'll cost you.
Come on.
There's a price. Yes. Many times there's a price involved in worship.
Yes,
this lady that had that alabaster box of ointment could have been, very possibly could have been as much as she had for a living, for her savings, for whatever it was that she had. It was costly to her. I don't know, what was the last time it cost you something to worship God? Preacher made a mention about taking, we're going to have a work day at our church, preacher. Next Saturday, matter of fact, we have a work day. And I encourage people to come out and serve the Lord with gladness, amen. And worship together as we clean up around the church, inside and out, and do some things, some maintenance that needs done there at the building, and all those things. Preacher, you know, I was going to go golfing. I was wanting to go fishing that day. There's something else I want to do. Well, how about it costing you just a little bit of what you want to do what needs to be done for God, and use it for worship. Amen. Use it to worship God with. Say, God, I know I don't have a lot of talent. I don't have a lot of ability. I don't have a lot. But God, what I've got, I want to use for your honor and glory. Amen. Take what you have and just use it for Him. Worship Him. She anointed His feet with ointment. It was a costly thing. It cost something. What will you do for God? How will you worship the Lord that it may just cost you a little bit? Well, I want to jump over here real quick, try to tie this in, the remainder of this passage here. I don't know what time you normally quit. Whenever. Praise the Lord. Man, I don't even know what time I started exactly. I was going to have my wife and kids come up and sing a song before we got started. I just jumped right into it and forgot. That's all right. All right. He said here, he was talking to him about that fellow that owed a debt. Do you ever realize we owed a debt that we couldn't pay? Amen.
Yeah,
amen. You realize it's been forgiven you? Don't you like that right there? We had. No, verse 41 and 42. Let's look at that again real quick before we move on down through here. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Are you a sinner? I'm a sinner.
Amen.
Saved by grace.
Yes,
I'm a sinner. I had a debt I couldn't pay. Thank God he paid it all. Amen.
Yes.
We sing that song, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Amen. Thank God for that blood that was shed on Calvary to purchase my redemption. He said, which one of them will love him the most? Amen. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? Well, of course he did. He'd already been pointing out she's a sinner. She's a sinner. Yeah, if he only knew, she's a sinner. He said, see this woman? Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sin also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. You see, the Pharisee's life is characterized by no. You see that? No water, no washing, no wiping, no kiss, no anointing. There's nothing there, is there? Nothing. Hey, if you don't have anything, if you have no worship, you better find out where you are. Amen. You better find out whose side you're on. Amen. I'm on the Lord's side. Amen. That song? Yeah. Are you there? If you have no worship, you better get back and find out. See, I lived a life, I'll give just a little bit of my testimony, I'll get right back to that thing, but I lived a life, I was raised, blessed, amen, to live in a Christian home. My mom and daddy were Christians, Christian people. They went to church. Brother, they went to church every time the doors were open.
Amen.
Since I was a baby, since I was old enough, you could say I was brought to church before I was even born. Amen. While I was still in my mama's belly, I was in church. I was in church, in church. And that life just went on that. Started that way and went on that way. Was in church. I remember a day, I was about 5 years old. My brother, it was a Sunday morning. I have no idea what was going on. I was five. I don't remember a thing. Except for the fact of this, that my brother, when it come time for the invitation. Now, my brother and me were just better than a year apart in birth. And he's just a little older than I am. And I really believe, to this day, I believe by his testimony that he was under conviction. And he walked an aisle, and they took him to a side room across the way and led him to Christ that day. Well, at the age of five, I followed right on out there and I went along. And that church was real good about you get saved, you get baptized, and follow the Lord. Well, we was just kids, and I don't fault the preacher for things, but anyway, not the way I would do it today, amen. But I'm not gonna say anything bad about him. But anyway, I walked that aisle. I went with my brother. I went over there, and I believe they probably had us pray a prayer. Anybody here pray a prayer? Amen. Pray a prayer. Let me tell you what, salvation is not in praying a prayer. Okay? Salvation is not in praying a prayer. I believe that maybe it could have been, especially as that little age, I believed it could have been. And I got baptized that Sunday night. Had a big old fancy baptistry up there. And we got, well, for a boy, that looks good. Amen. I'm getting play in the water, right? Well, we got baptized that Sunday night. And I lived my life growing up in church. Singing the hymns of the faith. Going to Christian school. Memorizing passages of Scripture. Knowing the things of God. I thank God for that.
That's right. Yeah.
But I was lost. I was lost. I can remember as a boy in my teens thinking sometimes, by sure hope, things don't happen the way I've been taught they would. About the Lord coming back. About the rapture. Because if God come back, I knew where I was going to be. I knew that here. I knew it. In my heart, I knew that. I knew I was lost. But that thing we talked about a little earlier called pride.
Come on, man.
That pride said that when I sat in church. And sometimes, brother, I can remember as being a little bit bigger of a teenager, I can remember gripping the pew. I can remember gripping all that thing. If it was any softer wood, I would have broke it off.
Whoa.
My pride was not going to let me walk down that aisle. Wasn't going to do it. What would that people that think, they've been going to church with me all my life, they think I'm already saved. What are people going to think? You know, the devil just give you these things to think about. And you just keep thinking about those things. And that pride just keeps on getting worse and worse and harder to deal with and harder to deal with. And I tell you what, it wasn't until I was in Bible college, brother. I was in Bible college. I said, what were you doing in Bible college? Lost. Coming to find the Lord. Amen. But God finally saved me. It wasn't His finally, amen. It was mine. I finally gave in and God would save me when I came to Him. Aren't you glad that you can come to Him? This lady here, she was a sinner. She came as she was, amen. She was a sinner. She had faith in who He was. She had faith in what He could do. And she came to Him and He said what? To the end of this passage, He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen. You're forgiven. And thank God for that faith. Thank God for giving us the faith. Amen. But here, let me tell you just a few things here about this Pharisee. He had a religious kind of life going on. I mean, he invited Jesus to his house, right? He had to have some kind of religious thing going on, right? He wanted to do what a lot of people do today. They come to church for what reason? Instead of worshiping God, they come to relieve some religious obligation.
Yeah, that's right.
So he had Jesus come over to relieve that religious obligation so he could feel good. Well, I had Jesus at my house. Well, you Pharisee, amen. Well, this Pharisee, he did not give. Look at that. In verse 44, he says, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water. No water. We'll look at that as no alleviation. Say what? Only concerned with their own self. Can't do anything for anyone else. Right? There's no water there. I'll tell you what. I'm just about to run out of water. I drank a little bit of water while I'm preaching. Thank you for getting me the glass of water, whoever done that. Thank you. And I like water. Amen? But he said, you gave me no water. No water. You didn't give me any water. And this woman, she with her tears have washed my feet. Now it was customary for that man to bring in the water to wash his feet, or at least give him the water to wash his feet. Many times they washed the feet for him. That was customary. He did not. He did not bring in the water. He said this. You notice this. There's no affection. No affection. The Pharisees, they have no affection. Why do you say that? Can't get real excited in worship, amen.
That's right.
There's no affection there. She said that she didn't cease to kiss his feet. That's affectionate, amen.
Amen.
You know how you make your own decision which side of this thing you're on, amen.
Come
There's
on.
No riding the fence.
That's right.
You're either in or you're not.
That's right.
Right? Yep. Amen. You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ.
That's
you're
right.
Either in worship or you're out of worship.
That's right,
amen.
That's right.
There's no riding the fence with God.
Right.
Too many people think they can ride the fence. When was the last time you were affectionate in your worship?
Right.
When was the last time you started shedding some tears in worship? I'll tell you what. This place of the old altar, used to be a place that was tear-stained. Why do things have to change? Why do things have to... God didn't change. Amen. God didn't change how we do this thing. This plan will still work. You want to get real with God... Tears, some affection. Said this: there's no alleviation, no water, nothing for him to to get rid of the dirt. No way to get that stuff off. He said there was no kiss. No affection. And notice this, there was no application. Anointed that oil. There was no application. He said, you didn't do any of that for me. You want to find out if you're a Pharisee?
That's good.
If you have nothing. If you have no time for God.
That's right.
He said, well, I'm here. Amen. I hope you're not one of those who keep doing this.
Come on.
Hope you're not a watch watcher. Amen. I think clocks, he said he wouldn't be able to see that one. That's fine. That's the one I'll keep looking at. You can't tell what time that one is exactly. That's all right. Hey, we put God on a time limit. Y'all, we're gonna have church. We're going to start at 11 and we're going to be done by noon. Yeah. And God, if you're going to meet with us, you better hurry up. Shame on us. Shame on us for ever coming to church trying to put a time limit on the worship of God. But now I'll tell you what, if the ball game goes into triple overtime, that's okay. We're enjoying ourselves.
That's right. That's something.
Well, if you can't enjoy yourself here, if you can't enjoy yourself in church, in company with God's people, well, take a look within.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
You may just be a Pharisee. I'm not trying to be mean or ugly to you. Believe me now. I just want us to know that we need to worship God in a right way.
Right.
Do we realize who He is? He knows who and what we are. Amen. He knows who we are. He knows what we are. We're a sinner. You know, the Pharisee, he always likes to point out the other person.
Yeah.
She's a sinner. Did he know she was a sinner? You know how else you'll know if you're a Pharisee?
Yeah. That's good.
That one.
That's right.
Preacher, did you see what they did?
Yeah. Come on.
God saw it.
Yeah.
Let it go at that. Amen. Yeah, amen. Pharisees will point out everybody else's faults. But you better watch out. God said, I have somewhat to say to thee.
Amen.
God's got your number. Amen. Aren't you glad God knows who we are and what we are? I just ask you today, how's your worship? How's your worship? Do you get real taken in? I mean, do you sit there and close up like a clam, or do you sit there and just enjoy yourself while you're worshiping God? Amen? How is it with you? God knows who you are. God knows what you are.
Come on.
Just praise Him a little bit.
That's right, man.
Amen?
Glory to God.
Shed some tears a little bit. I'll tell you what, it'll do some of us some real good.
Yes, it will. Yeah. A lot of good.
Yeah. A whole lot of good. Yeah. If we see ourselves like He does. Mm. We put on a suit and tie, preacher. We make ourselves look real good. You know. I preached one time back in Ohio, and I was preaching there, and while I was preaching, I said, you know, this sinful flesh is just as wicked as anything. This man right here, this fleshful thing, can do anything else anybody else can do, can just be as wicked and bad. And this sweet little old lady, after I was all finished, she comes up and says, you're just the finest man I know. There's nothing wrong with you. That's only because you know me from seeing me from the pew to the pulpit.
That's right.
You don't know me, and you don't know my thoughts, amen. You don't know the heart of mine. And God does. He knows who I am. He knows what I am. And He loves me. Amen. And He loves me. Let me tell you what, He loves you today. I don't want to leave out here thinking, y'all thinking I'm just a big meanie, right? God loves you today.
That's right, Father.
Jesus died for you. I don't know most of you. Some of you I've never seen before. Ever. I don't think. Anyway. Let me tell you this. Not knowing this, there may be someone sitting here this afternoon that does not have a real relationship with the Savior. You want to know how that? You want to know how? You want to know if you really have a relationship with Him? If you can worship Him the way this woman did. If you've never worshiped God the way this woman did,
come on.
I'd be checking up on your relationship with Him.
Yes, sir.
Really?
Yes, sir.
The things of God ever bring you to tears? What gets me, preacher? Dale, you know what gets me? Our wives. They can sit and watch this movie. Oh, they sit and watch some movie, and next thing you know, this movie just breaks their heart. It just rips their heart out and crushes them, and they're just a bawling and a weeping. Well, that's all right, I guess. You know, little boy lost his puppy dog and whatever else, and I don't know, but you know, we watched this one. It was, and I almost had a tear come too. I mean, so it was a good one, you know. But we watched this one about this fella who went off the war, you know. And I've got a son-in-law in Afghanistan, and just the other day, one of the guys in his group there got shot and killed, and that's coming close, amen. That's coming closer.
Yeah.
So when you see a movie and you see some things about some soldier boys, our son is in the Army, our son-in-law is in the Army, and so those things can grip your heart.
Yeah.
But how many times do we let the things of God grip our heart like that?
Come on.
How many times are we really moved by the things of God? We've become so hard.
Yes, sir.
We've seen so many things. We've heard so many things. We've gotten, let me tell you, brother, if you're in a place where you've lost your worship and you've gotten hard, you need to come back to the Savior. Say, God, melt this heart of mine. Give me back the tears that I can worship You. Take that time. Get passionate in your worship with God. I'll tell you what, it never gets any better than just real worship. It just doesn't get any better than that. I can remember being in some services. I'm pretty well finished, but I can remember being in some services. I wanted to be out there this whole last week, out in Colorado. We lived out there for a while, and we would go to these churches. And this one church, they would have their camp meetings. And that was the same church I talked about earlier, that when I went into that church and they began to sing, "Brethren, we have met to worship." I'll tell you, that church means something to me.
Amen.
That preacher means something to me. You say, why is that? Because I was at a place in that part and time of my life, and I needed a touch from God.
Amen.
And He met me there.
Yes,
He met me there.
Amen.
And you'll know you get a touch from God. How? You won't be able to contain yourself.
Amen.
He'd take that old stony heart and melt it down.
Yes.
Yes. Some of us need to have that heart reconstructed, amen. We need to find that place again where fellowship and worship is just, we can't wait till next Sunday to get back in church to worship with the saints. We can't wait till Wednesday night. I'm going to church and I'm going to worship with the saints. I'm going to sing my heart out. You know, we had a missionaries conference here earlier in the spring, and that thing in that throat of mine, I'd got a little bit of a cold and I couldn't sing. And I love to sing, preacher. I can't do real good at it, but I love to sing. And I'll belt it out, man. I'll belt it out. Why do you do that? Because I believe God's worth it.
Amen.
And I did that till I was absolutely hoarse. I mean, I could just about hardly even talk at all. But I'm going to talk and I'm going to sing and I'm going to shout for the glory of God. Why? Because He is worthy of all of our praise. He is worthy. You can do it anywhere else. Let me tell you what, you better get that thing back in line. Worship the Savior. Worship God. He is worthy. Preacher, we come.
I got some people in here. You got a lot more no's in your life than you have yeses. If we were to go through and try to find the last time you ever wept over the things of God, did what you could to get close to Him.
really worked and wanted to get close to him worshiping, you'd have a hard time remembering any time like that. Okay? And it's showing up in your life. Dale came in and asked me earlier, what's bothering you, Pastor? He could just see that I was just eat up. He said, well, I really liked the service this morning. A lot of people commented on the service. Yep, God was in it. A lot of troubling things going on in that service. But my heart is weighed down right now. Just because I have people in my church, and while I pray for them, I have no peace right now. They're troubled. There's things going on, and I grieve, and I wonder what's going on. Now, I could do so much from your, as your pastor and pray. But somewhere in there, you're going to have to start caring for yourself.
Yes, that's right. Right. Yes.
Instead of just looking around and trying to find who the sinner is in the church, and pointing at them, who's the bad person. Take the position for a while yourself as the bad person.
Right. Yeah.
I'm the bad person many times in this church.
That's right.
I have to take that position. Get right with the Lord all over again.
Yes.
You know, when I was a boy, I'd take a bath. Figured I was pretty good for the month of April. April 1st, done that thing. And, didn't need any more or whatever. And my mom would come and she'd decide all the boys stunk. And, you know, that's boom. You know, off you all trotted to the showers, the bathtub or whatever else. And I got a lot of people in here think, well, I got close to the Lord, you know, once. Being to stink after a while.
Yeah.
Your mind is like your sheets, like your underclothing. You don't change it from time to time, it stinks. Okay? You got to change it. Let God get in there and change it for you. Do some work in you. I'll let your folks go with that. Brother Kaler, let me tell you something. It's tremendous. How many times today have we heard it said that pride is why people aren't getting saved?
That's right, brother.
Two services I got preached on today. God was all over that.
Amen, brother.
All over that. I love that. I love what you had to preach. I believe God's hands on it.
Amen. Yes.
So let's go ahead and close. Jim, would you close us with a word of prayer?